Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How many believes he's made his promises?
Amen.
And he's keeping those promises. He loves to have us call upon his name. He loves us to remind him of his word. He loves us to take him at his word. Amen. You know, that's the only way he'll be glorified in this dimension here on earth, is for somebody to say, let it be unto me according to thy word. Lord, let your word be performed. Let it be accomplished in my life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. As you can see, it's the first of the month, so we'll be having communion here in just a little bit. But we just have a little thought that we want to look into tonight that would be, I think it would be appropriate for before partaking of communion once again here this evening. So we would like to read from Psalm chapter 105. There's 24 verses, and I think just to keep your interest tonight and for a little bit of audience participation, you'll read a verse, I'll read a verse, you'll read a verse, I'll read a verse. You get the point, okay? All together. So Psalm 105, and we'll start with the first verse. And to remind you, that's your verse, so go ahead. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face evermore. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations. And confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. When they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it. He suffered no man to do them wrong, yea, he reproved kings for their sakes. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land, he brake the whole staff of bread. Whose feet they hurt with fetters, he was laid in iron. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. To bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his senators wisdom. And he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. Amen. Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. And then one more from Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter and the 13th verse. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And Lord, add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow our heads tonight. Father, as we come this evening, Lord, for the evening sacrifice, Lord, for our evening meal, which you prepared for us, Lord. We just ask that our hearts would be open, our minds would be clear, and Lord, that you'd speak to each and every one. Lord, we're not looking for information tonight. We're looking for revelation. We're asking that you would make yourself real, make yourself known to us, Lord, confirming your word by bringing it to pass in our lives. Bless each and every one here tonight, Lord, and those that couldn't make it, those that are listening in. And Father, we just want to tell you once again how much we love you and appreciate you and thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. And we ask, Lord, that you would walk the aisles once again here this evening, Lord, that you would deal with our hearts. And Father, if there's anything that we need to repent of, if there's anything that we need to confess, anything that we need to make right, may your word search our hearts tonight, Lord, and may it bring that conviction that's so blessed, Lord, because without conviction, we wouldn't have a clue what to make right. And if we weren't able to make it right, we couldn't have peace with you. And we couldn't have the assurance when we come before you. And so we just ask, Lord, that you'd search our hearts and give us grace, Lord, to respond and to say, forgive me, Lord, knowing, Lord, that you promise that if we confess our sins, that you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Bless each and every one, Lord. May you receive all honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So I want to title the thought here tonight, The Right Approach. The Right Approach. We know that there's a right way to do things. There's a wrong way to do things. There's lots of ways of doing things. But what we're interested in is the correct approach or the right approach. So David tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In other words, if we want to have any wisdom at all, it starts with a right attitude towards God. And of course, we realize that to fear the Lord is to have a reverential respect of the Lord. It's not a fear of fire and brimstone, but it causes you to watch your attitude, to watch your approach. It's a feeling of respect and wonder for somebody that's very powerful. It's a profound reverence and awe, especially towards God. The word respect is defined as high or special regard, to feel admiration for someone or something, to regard someone or something as being worthy of admiration because of good qualities, to act in a way that shows that you are aware of someone's rights and someone's wishes, etc., to treat or to deal with something that is good or valuable in a proper way. This sounds like a worthy thing to speak about here tonight before we partake of communion. If we fear the Lord, friends, we have a respect for him. And we are aware of his position and we have a high regard for him. And our respect for him will then be reflected in our attitude towards him and in how we approach him and how we treat him, how we regard him, how we recognize his position. We appreciate him and we acknowledge him in all of our ways and we appreciate his attributes, and that's a show of respect. We regard his instruction and we honor him and we speak to him and speak about him with honor. And of course, the opposite of that would be to disrespect him. And to disrespect him would be to disregard his position, disregard his worth, and to speak about him lightly or dishonorably. And the most obvious measure of one's respect towards another person is the manner in which they speak of another person. Another measure is the manner in the behavior towards another person when they are in their presence. In other words, the level of regard a person has for another person, it's not something that's abstract, but it's very real, and it's something that is expressed. It's not hidden. And you know one person's respect for another by what they say about the other person and how they act towards the other person. And the relationship that one person will have with another is entirely dependent upon the level of respect that they have for that other person. So respect is also, it's something that we give to another person. And we get back from that person, what we get back from that person will depend at least in part on what we give to them. So let's say, for example, that someone that you know is, I don't know, an expert at mathematics, and you'd like to be better at mathematics yourself. Now, if you treat the math expert as if he knows nothing about math, you're not going to benefit from his knowledge of math, and you'll get nothing in return. your relationship with that person will be shallow, and you will have little invested in that relationship, so it will be of little value to you. And when you find yourself in a time of trouble, you will have fewer resources to draw from as a result of the little value that was attributed to them. So Solomon tells us, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Do we want to hear the conclusion of the whole matter? Do we want to hear the summary of the whole matter? Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So the whole thing can be summed up in one thing: fear God, have the right regard for him, give him the respect and the honor that is due to him. Having respect for him, it will affect our attitude toward what he has to say, and our mental attitude towards his word will depend on our fear or respect that we have for him. So if we want to have any wisdom at all, it starts with fear or respect towards God. The wisdom of this world is actually foolishness. And the main reason why it's foolishness is because it's not based on respect towards God. In fact, the wisdom of this world doesn't even acknowledge God. So if we honor him, then we will honor what he has to say, and we will benefit by gaining wisdom. See how simple that is? God actually demands that we have respect towards him and also towards one another. Now, please don't get the idea tonight that this is going to be pointed towards one person or another, or that we're supposed to respect one more than another. We should respect everybody. Everybody. So we see in the Old Testament how God dealt with nations and how he dealt with kings, mainly based on the level of respect that they had towards his anointed and towards his people. The Lord said, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. He didn't say if you like them or if you, you know, if you don't like them, it's okay to treat them however you want. He said, don't touch them. Do them no harm. And what others got in return from the Lord was based on their level of respect towards the Lord's anointed. So God chooses his servants. He doesn't take an opinion poll. He makes that choice himself. And he works through them and he proves them to be his servants by making his word work through them. And then he expects us to respect them. And we show our respect towards God in our respect towards his servants. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. That's not the whole picture. We are to respect God. We are to respect his servants. We are to respect his anointed. We are to respect one another. God even looks at the respect that we have for the least amongst us. The least in the kingdom of God. And how we are treated by God will be determined by how we treat the very least amongst us. I'm dying to ask, are you and Brother Verlin going to have a race there with the crutches? Matthew chapter 18, verse 10. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. That's powerful, isn't it? The generation that I grew up in, I'm not complaining, I'm just telling you how it was in the generation that I grew up in, children were to be seen and not heard. That was kind of, you know, it was the adults that received all of the respect, and I believe that the adults should be respected. I have no qualms with that at all, but children a lot of times were treated as second-handed citizens, if you will. You know, you had to grow up before you deserved any respect or were treated with any respect. But here Jesus said, you know what? Watch out how you treat the little babies amongst us. For their angel doth always behold the face of the Father. We've heard told before where Brother Branham and his son Billy Paul were sitting down and having dinner together, and Billy Paul's boy came running in and did something, and Billy Paul just kind of pushed him out of the way and, you know, was said some words to him that was a little bit short. And Brother Branham looked over at him and he said, "Billy, his angel, your little boy, his angel didn't like that." Think about it, friends. Think about it. Little ones. The word despise means to condemn, to disdain, or to think little or nothing of. So we should never do that. To have little fear or little respect for. And it's reflected in how we treat one another. Matthew 25, verse 40. "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me." Mark chapter 9, verse 41. "For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." Now friends, that implies that that person that just gave you a cup of cold water will be given life on the other side. You say, "Well, where did you get that from?" Well, what good is a reward if you don't have life to live it? "And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it's better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea." That's a powerful statement, huh? I don't even want to think about that. You know, one of the things that gives me the creeps is the thought of, as I've mentioned before, being out in the middle of open waters where you can't see land and the waters are deep and you're dropped in there and you go down to the bottom. Glub, 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 glub. Imagine having a millstone, which, you know, these were stones that were used to grind up grain. So they were big, heavy stones. And having that stone put around your neck, I mean, just that alone would probably do you in. But there's no way that you're going to come back up if that thing is put on you. And these are Jesus' words. So it's not an image that you want to dwell on. But he said it would be better. So in other words, something worse will be done to somebody that offends one of these little ones. It would have been better if a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea than to offend one of these little ones. And these little ones are the little ones of the kingdom. Luke chapter 17, verse 1. "Then said he unto the disciples, It is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come." We should be very mindful of that. I mean, this is not a casual... we're living in a time, in an age, in a day where respect is in short supply. People don't think anything about speaking evil of dignitaries and so on and so forth. "It is impossible, but the offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him." It's all done. It's over. Finished. Fini. You mean the way that we treat one another, Brother Doug, is being watched? It's being measured? And it will be judged? God demands respect. And the respect that we have for God actually can be measured by the respect that we have for one another. God demands respect. No matter what a person's position is, no matter what a person's ability might be, every member of the body has a position in the body. And everyone should be treated with respect. And if we don't respect one another, we should have no expectations for others to treat us with respect. Some of the most easily offended people that I've run into in my Christian walk are those that demand respect, and yet they don't respect others. Something's wrong with that formula. Respect is not something that we earn. It's not something that we demand. It's something that we give. So when you think about the word respect, don't think about it in terms of yourself. It's an action word. It's what you do for somebody else. Now, friends, think about it. If all of us are doing this for others, then won't we just automatically be respected? And of course, we could say that if Jesus said, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Well, if you want to be respected, respect others, right? What we get in return is based on what we give. God demands our respect towards Him, towards His anointed, toward the least amongst us, towards one another. And God demands our respect towards those that we work for, towards those that are in positions of power and authority, and even towards those that mistreat us. This is powerful stuff, friends. It's a powerful principle. So we need to respect God. We need to respect His messengers. We need to respect His ministry. We need to respect His deacons. We need to respect our parents. We need to respect our husbands and wives. We need to respect our teachers. We need to respect our policemen. We need to respect our employers. We need to respect our governmental leaders. Did I leave anything out? Whatever I left out, we need to respect that too. Really, friends, I don't see anywhere where we have a license to disrespect anyone, no matter who they are and no matter what they've done. This is God's program, and these are God's ways. And His people will show forth His ways in their lives. And you just would have to admit here tonight, friends, without reservation, His ways are the best ways. If everybody did what God asks us to do, it'd be a better place to live, wouldn't it? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man, if it makes sense to you, if you're okay with it. It's not what it says. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. You know, the exception would be if it breaks His word. Whether it be to a king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by Him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men. Who does that leave out? The women, of course. No. Honor everyone. That's a good thought, isn't it? I remember we had a brother in the church, an older brother that eventually was one of our deacons. And every time I talked to him, I called him sir. And at one point he told me, you know what, I wish you'd quit calling me sir. I wish you'd just quit saying that. And I didn't quit. But then he noticed that I called everybody sir. And then it dawned on him, oh, this is how you treat everybody. I thought it was just me. Well, I do treat you that way, but I want to treat everybody that way. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood and the sisterhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Aren't you glad we don't have a king? Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear or respect. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. So if you've got a bad boss, be subject to that bad boss. with respect. That's not in the Bible, right? This must be the wrong version. This must be the New International Version. For this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endures grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it if, when you are buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if, when you do well, and you suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. We will be tested with this. It will be proven. That's where long suffering is developed in your life. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Was that an amen? Or? Who did not sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Think about it, friends. It's a paradox, but it's also marvelous at the same time that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. And he didn't treat us disrespectfully. He didn't treat us the way that we probably ought to have been treated, according to how we think about things. So our respect towards God is reflected in our respect towards others in our lives. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed into Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. And let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi his servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? Ask, Sister Hattie Wright. And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, Well, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. So the word Shunem means double resting place. And Shunem was a city that was about 5 miles south of Mount Tabor. And we find that it is in this place that this woman finds rest. And it's also a place where the Word finds rest and where God's servant finds rest. And in our story here tonight, the Scripture calls this woman a great woman. But she does not call herself that. She and her husband, they're childless. They live in a city that Elisha passes through often on his way to Mount Carmel and to Samaria. And so this woman would ask the prophet of God to stop by her house and to eat every time that she saw him passing by her way. Now, in order for her to do that, of course, she had to be on the lookout in order to catch him as he came by. And it was she that constrained him. He wasn't the one that was demanding anything from her. She was the one that constrained him. And from the first time that this happened onwards, he would stop by their house and he would eat and he would rest. And so look at the respect that she had towards the servant of the Lord. And of course, we know that it goes without saying that he also had respect for her. He didn't go into the house, you know, demanding to be fed, demanding to be given rest, demanding to be addressed a certain way. He treated her with respect as well. There's a story that's told about this very same woman, and there were wild dogs that were chasing after a young girl that was, these dogs were no doubt intent on killing these killing this young girl. And at that moment in time, the prophet of God was passing through the town and he saw what was happening to this girl. And he raised his staff up in the air and he cried out for mercy for that child. And the dogs stopped and they turned and they left. And the story goes that this Shunammite woman witnessed what had taken place. Whether true or not, friends, we know that she had respect for God's servant. She had such respect for this man and for the word that she took advantage of the opportunity to stop the word every time it passed her by. Of course, it's her and her husband that are communing with this man. And so she gets inspired to set aside a simple but a special place for the word to abide in her home. So they furnished the room with the bare necessities, which we could look at. We could see that each piece that was in that room, it was a symbol of something. There was a table to break bread and to commune. There was a stool for the prophet to sit on. There was a candlestick for light so that you could illuminate the word that you were reading. So it's a place of rest, it's a place of study, and it's a place of fellowship. And there's nothing complicated about it. Very simple. I believe tonight, friends, that every home should have a place like this. Every home should have a place for the word to abide, where the word is welcome, and for there to be communion with the word, fellowship with the word, rest. I'd sure like to have been there just one of those times to hear what was spoken when he passed by her way. No doubt faith was being received at the hearing of the word, for that's the purpose of the word coming across your path. It brings faith. And it was the word for what was needed and for what would be needed. That's why we come together, friends. It's not to tell stories. It's not to educate. It's not to hear something new. It's to receive the word for what we have need of, or what we will have need of. So Elisha asks, or says to her, ask what you will. And look at what came to her because of her respect for the servant of God and for the word. The word speaks through Gehazi to the woman. What if she had no regard for Gehazi? What if she had respect for Elisha, but not for his servant Gehazi? What if her attitude had been like Jezebel's attitude towards Elijah? Elisha prophesies and he tells her that she's going to have a child according to the time of life. And he said, what then is to be done for her? Verse 14, and Gehazi answered, verily she hath no child and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. So, of course, we know that it happened according to the word of the Lord, because the word of the Lord can never fail. The Lord supplies their need after recognizing their right approach. And in this story is also prophesied the coming of the royal seed of Abraham, which God promised would come after Abraham showed the right respect. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 18. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to the lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It's neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. Didn't need to be a holy day. Didn't need to be Easter or Thanksgiving or Christmas. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. Go in haste. Go at once. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her. So there's running in both directions. Friends, you run to him, he runs twice as fast to you. You take a step towards God, he'll take two towards you. How many knows that's the truth? Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. How could she say that? That's faith. It is well. Now, friends, what I want you to notice here, we're gonna pull over here in just a moment. What I want you to notice is here's her chance to complain. Well, I'll tell you that, Brother Isaiah. It just, you know, I would enjoy coming to church if it wasn't for him. He never says anything, but he bugs me. It's his fault. It's your fault, Brother Henry. Quit smiling. You're laughing at me. I know you are. Here's her chance to complain. Here's her chance to go through the first, second, and third pole of woe is me. Now, I'm not saying we don't sympathize with her. We sympathize with everyone in our sufferings. When one suffers, we all suffer. But what good does it do to complain? Actually, it will do harm to complain. Her answer was, it's well. She's talking about how this is going to turn out, not how it's going. Oh, help us, Lord. We need to have respect towards the Word of God. When we make statements like that, we're respecting His Word. When we complain, we're downgrading His Word. We're denigrating His Word. We're saying His Word is powerless, worthless. We're calling Him a liar. He said, He said, He said. We need to take Him at His Word. We need to stand upon it. Say, behold the glory of the Lord. It is well with my soul. I I forget who it was that wrote that song, It Is Well With My Soul, but it was inspired by tragedies, hardships. Though this, though that, though this, though that, it is well with my soul. That's not a lie. That's not hope. That's the word of the Lord. That's what God says. You want to walk in that? Say what he said. Help us tonight, Lord. It's so easy to complain. But when we do that, friends, we're harming the word. We're disrespecting the word. We want to give all respect to the word of God. How's your child doing? Oh, he's a renegade. Don't say that. They may not be living right. They may be... Brother Branham said about somebody else's boys one time, he said, they got a little frost on them. They'd cooled off. He said, but don't worry, the sun will come back around. Take that frost off. Don't look at the conditions. Don't look at the circumstances. Have respect towards the word. Nobody's thinking that about you, Isaiah. Didn't mean to sound disrespectful. You pull. But what we're going to see happen next, it was the result of her having the right approach. Friends, we see the same thing with the modern day parable of our sister Hattie Wright. She said the right thing. If she hadn't of it, would have been Sister Hattie wrong. And she wouldn't have gotten what she asked for. But it was her approach. She had every right to complain. Or every circumstance. She had her parents are not in good health. And she's having to take care of them. Her boys are little renegades. Her sister's in a wheelchair, I think, right? Brother Branham came by her house. She put $20 on the plate. He thought, okay, that's a tithe on 200. That's probably what she made the whole year. And he's thinking, I can't take that from her. Or the church. He went by her house to give her that money back. And the Lord told him, don't do that. She's honoring my word. She's showing her respect towards my word. I'm going to bless her. Dirt floor, rundown house, all these things. Her husband's gone. Brother Branham is telling the story of the power of the spoken word when squirrels were actually spoken into creation, and there's some snickering going on and some doubting going on in the room. But she'd made a place for the word and for God's messenger. She received him, treated him like she had food that would last forever. Maybe it was her next meal that she shared with him. Who knows? But when she heard the story being told, she said, that's nothing but the truth. And the Lord was pleased. It was the right approach. And he said, by the word of the Lord, ask and you shall receive. Well, that's just in line with the word, isn't it? Ask and you shall receive. She says, well, what should I ask for? Well, you could ask for your sister to get out of that wheelchair. You could ask for money to have a better house. And what do you want, sister? My heart's desire is the salvation of my boys. I give you your boys in the name of the Lord. How many believes that tonight? You know, there was a time later on when it looked like they were reverting to being little renegades again. But God gave her a word, and she held on to it. And that should be an encouragement to every one of us tonight. You hold on to that word. You want that promise to come to pass? Don't move from that word. Keep respecting that word of God. Recognizing God can't lie. If God's given you his word, he's going to keep his word. Don't stop. He's promised us, hadn't he? You believe that. You believe that with all your heart. Just hold on. He can't lie. You're holding on to that. You will see it. It won't be after you pass. You will see it. You got to hold on to it. No matter what, friends. No matter how it looks. No matter what the circumstances. Hold on to it. God will perform his word. She didn't take the word that was spoken by this prophet lightly. And she didn't crumble when things didn't go her way. Now, friends, we didn't start out that way. Probably all of us crumbled. We did as little children. Things didn't go our way. Wah. Throw something, have a little fit, kick until we get what we want. But as we grow and mature, and we learn to trust the Lord, and we learn to take him at his word, and respect his word, respect those that are sent to us to bring the word, respect our brothers and our sisters. She didn't crumble when things didn't go. Her son's dead. She didn't panic. She went and laid him in that special place that she reserved for the word and for God's prophet. And then she said, let's go in haste. Don't get some old man. Let's get a young guy. And let's get saddled up. And let's go at haste. And her husband says, but it's not Easter and it's not Christmas. And it's not a special, it's not a full moon. And it's not this and it's not that. So how can you approach? I don't care. I've got a need. I was given a promise. And now it looks like Satan's trying to take away what God promised me. I'm going to go to the one that gave me that word. And I'm going to remind him of that word. Verse 27. When she came to the man of God, to the hill, she caught him by the feet. Look at her approach, friends. Now, she could have done what some people would do. She could have rebuked him. Well, you Indian giver. You promised me a boy and I got him and now he's being taken away. That term Indian giver, at least here in America, it might have a different connotation over in India. But in America, it sounds like a derogatory term towards Indians, but it's really a recognition of the little value of man's word towards the Indian. An Indian giver is somebody that gives to the Indian and then takes it back. Doesn't honor their word. She caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then said he to Gehazi, gird up thy loins, take my staff in thy hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. Don't stop and talk about fishing and this and that and the other. Make haste. Don't turn to the left, don't turn to the right. Answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. I'm holding on to you. He arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, I did what you said, but the child is not awake. And when Elisha was coming to the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in, therefore, and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked into the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. You believe that? So watch the attitude and the approach of everyone that was involved in this. There's respect that's demonstrated all the way around. It's not, so people get nervous sometimes when you preach about respect, because you think that you're demanding respect for one or another. And no, this is something that should go, it's universal. Everything that we say, everything that we do requires a right approach. Verse 36. And he called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. So he called her. And when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. That's what restoration looks like, friends. That's the God that we serve tonight. Notice, it can be rocky in between. It can look dark in between. In fact, it can look like God gave you and took away from you. But if he's promised it to you, friends, it will return. God will restore. So what should our approach be today? That's what we want to take from this thought here tonight. Could the outcome of the trials that we face in our lives, could that outcome be based upon our approach? Could it be dependent upon our level of respect? Respect towards what? Respect towards God. Respect towards his word. Respect towards the circumstances or the situation. Respect towards others that are involved. We'll close with this scripture here tonight. Luke chapter 23, verse 39. Jesus is hanging from the cross. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. He doesn't deserve this. We do. And he said unto the Lord Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. What did it, friends? It was the approach. We saw the approach of one, and we saw the result of that. We saw the approach of the other. They both deserved the punishment they were getting. This wasn't about this one was better than that one. This one was worse than that one. It's all about approach. One of them said the right thing. The other one didn't. And God had respect unto the one and not unto the other. See how important that is? Well, I believe. There should be an approach that reflects what we believe. And we should be mindful of our approach. We should be You know, especially as Paul said, especially those of the household of faith. You know, we should especially, like I said, we should respect the person at the grocery stand, right? The person that's writing a ticket for you parking in the wrong spot. They're doing their job, right? Respect for the garbage man that showed up late or went past your house and you had to call the garbage company to have him come back or whatever it might be. Respect towards one another, but especially of the household of faith. Because recognize this is the purchase of his blood. What value could you put on his blood? Tell you what, he put a value on it. He said, this priceless blood, I'm going to exchange it for sons and daughters. For those of the kingdom of God. So to him, you're priceless. To him, you're a pearl of great price. To him, you're a jewel in his crown. So if that's his attitude toward each and every one of us, what should our attitude be toward each and every one? Is that fair? What should our attitude be to the little boys that flush paper towels down the toilet and clog it up and brothers have to do plumbing and all that? Should we take them out and string them up? You should treat them with respect. Correction is needed where correction is needed. And you don't have to be a little to need to be corrected. We all need correction. But it needs to be done with respect. And it needs to be done with love. And there needs to be instruction. A lot of times, correction can be avoided if we just give instruction. Right? There's always a place for correction, of course. But instruction's a better approach. And it's better to instruct and then correct. Some will actually instruct through correction. That's not the way to do it. You don't want people guessing what they should do in this situation or that. Instruct. Make it clear. Make it simple. But make sure that we're showing respect towards one another. We had a little situation with the sound booth several months ago. I wasn't here. I heard about it afterwards. And something happened, and I think the issue was really up here. It wasn't in the sound booth. I don't think it had anything to do with the people working the sound. And one instrument wasn't maybe getting the volume or what have you, and I think it may have been a setting up here on the platform. But after the service, the sound people took all the flack, you know, as if they're back there, oh, man, I'm going to ruin that person's life. Nobody else's, just that one person. I've been wanting to do this for so long. That person actually stepped down from doing the sound booth. I mean, who wants to be treated that way? Right? Especially in the household of faith, right? And the discussion of that ended up in the foyer, and the deacon had to say, hey, you know, not only is that not right, but let's get this out of the church. Let's take this outside. Let's get it away from the people. Why would you bring that up? Because it happened. And it's an example of things that we shouldn't do. I don't say that to... I haven't mentioned any names, and I'm not saying that to condemn anyone or tar and feather anyone, but those things shouldn't be happening. We should always think the best about one another. Right? Brother Branham put it to us this way. He said, when I meet somebody... I don't care who you are. I don't care how you're dressed. You might look like a bum. You might have just come out of prison and you might still have a prison uniform on. But I treat everyone, I treat them, they're up here. He says, now, if they want to bring themselves down by what they say and by what they do, that's on them. But I'm going to give them respect. I'm going to give them the highest regard, and I'm going to treat them that way. Now, if we want to lower ourselves in other people's eyes, that's something that we're bringing upon ourselves. But we should treat one another the way we want to be treated, right? With respect, with love. We should always assume that everyone's motives are right. If they aren't, that's on that person. And we can pray for them and so on and so forth. Maybe they're having a bad day, whatever. But assume that their motives are right. We should take people at their word. You say, well, I don't want to be fooled, and I've been fooled before, and people can be deceitful and this and that. Well, now you're going to guess at what, and now you're going to be a mind reader. Now you're going to try and imagine what's right and what isn't. And we don't have that ability to do that. The best thing to do is just take people at their word. If their word turns out to be no good, shame on them. But shame on you if you imagine and read into something that isn't there. And you just injured your brother or your sister because you assumed something, right? It's actually the easiest approach too. It's actually the most peaceful way to be. Just take people at their word. Expect that what they're telling you is true. If it isn't, that's on them. Is this okay? We all are trying to reach the same goal. We all have the same destination. We're all in the same boat. We all came from the same mess. We're all headed towards the same glory. We all have the same Father. We're all serving the same God. We all want to be right. We all want to do right. We don't want to lose sight of that, friends. I'm not bringing this because I think that there's a particular need right now. I'm bringing it because it's just timely as we go to the communion table here tonight. We should thank God for one another. One of the other things that you're going to really need to guard yourself from is, well, the church I came from, and then try to read that into the church that you're part of. The church you came from is the church you came from, right? I'm not saying anything, I'm not making a statement at all about the church you came from, but this isn't the church you came from. Think good thoughts. Expect good things. Sing that song, "It's Different Now, Since Jesus Saved My Soul. It's Different Now, Since He Made Me Whole." Why is it different? It's just different. It's different now. I expect great things. My future's so bright, I gotta wear shades. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Let's stand. I think we all know these things, friends. It's just good to remind ourselves, especially in the day that we're living in, when it's just, our culture has changed. Sister Baker and I were discussing that, back in the 60s, or actually even we can go back to Roosevelt's generation. If there was infidelity that was taking place in high places, you just didn't talk about it. It wasn't in the newspapers. It's just something that you didn't talk about. Now where are we at? Nothing's off limits. And you don't even know if it's true or not. And it just, we don't want to hear it. Anybody want to hear it? Anybody want to know? How does it make you feel? What does it make you think? How does it affect your respect for others? That's really the casualty of the whole thing, isn't it? You lose respect. We don't want to do that. Well, what about our president, and what about our governor, and what about our mayor? God put that person there. And they can only do what God allows them to do. Well, they're not very nice. Well, then respect them that much more. It's easy to respect somebody that's nice to you. If we want God to respect us, if we want others to respect us, we must respect others. Thank you, Lord, for this timely reminder. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just thank you so much this evening for your goodness, your grace, your mercy. Father, I'll be the first from the pulpit. I'll be the first to say, I don't deserve anything, Lord. I don't deserve to be treated right. I don't deserve to be honored. I don't deserve to be patted or petted. Or I don't deserve for anybody to dote on me or to serve me. I don't deserve anything. But I'm not getting what I deserve. And I'm so thankful for it, Lord. I deserve death. I deserve eternal separation. For the things that have been done in my life, Lord, before you got a hold of me. Certainly. But I'm not getting what I deserve. So why would I wish? Why would I wish something upon somebody else and say, well, they deserve it, when I'm not getting what I deserve? If I get treated nicely, that's gravy on my potatoes. I shouldn't demand that. I shouldn't expect it. I should treasure it and recognize I'm not getting what I deserve. I'm being treated with goodness and kindness. I didn't earn it. It's not payment that's given to me. It's the tender hand of Jehovah. Oh Lord, help me to be that way towards others. Help me to be mindful, Lord, all the time of the impact that we're having on other people. Even just our approach sometimes can affect another person's life. It can affect their walk, and it can affect their faith. It can affect their outlook upon life and upon themselves and upon their situation. Lord, if we can make life a little bit easier for one another, what a wonderful place this would be. What a wonderful place this is for those that are called, for the called according to your election. Lord, as we endeavor to live for others, recognizing that eternal life is living for others. Father, we want to say the right thing. We want to do the right thing. We want to make sure that our approach is right. And Father, if we could just say boldly this evening as a general rule, if we're taking the lower road, if we're taking the humble approach, there's a very good chance that that's the right approach. It's a very good chance that that's the approach that's pleasing to you and the one that's going to result in benefits in our lives, but not just to our lives, but especially to the lives of others, those that we come in contact with. Realizing, Lord, that just us taking the right approach can bless the lives of other people. Just us doing the right thing. Just us saying the right thing. Just us having the right approach, the right attitude, can affect the lives of others. Help us, Lord, to keep that before us, to be mindful of it. Sometimes our lives become so ordinary to us, and sometimes we think, well, what impact am I having on somebody else's life? I'm not doing miracles. I'm not seeing great power flowing. I'm not seeing this or that. We tend to overlook the simple things. And in the simple things, so often, that's where the real power's at. Power to brighten the lives of others, to encourage others, to help others, to allow your word to find its resting place, cause someone else's faith to rise to the level that's where they can receive what they have need of. May we watch these things, Lord. May we be mindful of it. We wake up in the morning, we lay down in the evening. we just be mindful of what kind of respect that we show to the people that we come in contact with in our lives. Grant it tonight, Lord. As we approach the table here tonight, once again, Father, we thank you for the symbols that we're going to partake of here tonight. The unleavened bread, it's just very simple, just baked without leaven, and nothing mixed into it. We ask that you would bless that, Lord, to the goodness of our bodies, and bless the hands that prepared it. The wine likewise, Lord, that we're going to partake, would you bless that tonight to the goodness of our bodies? Father, as we partake of these symbols, we know that they will remain symbols as we partake of them, but it's our approach and it's our attitude, it's our respect towards it, Lord, that will make the difference. Lord, if we come with sincere hearts, if we come with, if there be no, certainly no condemnation, but even conviction, if our hearts condemn us not, ask what we will, and we can have it. We know that there's healing in the cup tonight, Lord. So, Father, if there's anything that we haven't made right, may we do so. I know that your word has been searching our hearts here tonight. Your word is the discerner. None of us are. Your word is. And it's sharp. And it'll cut asunder. It'll divide the bone from the marrow. It'll separate belief from unbelief. It'll take out things that are not helpful. So, Lord, we just ask that you move upon each and every heart here tonight as we prepare to partake of your table once again in remembrance of you, Lord, and according to the commandment that you left behind as instruction to us. Father, I just ask that each and every one would be blessed here tonight. I pray that there not be a one in the building that's not able to come boldly to the table tonight, Lord, with peace and full expectation that, Lord, that great things are going to result from our simple obedience to your word, our reverential obedience to your word. Not just, we know that sometimes we can do the right thing with the wrong approach or the wrong attitude, and it can become a stench in your nostrils. We know that your prophet told us that the children of Israel had gotten to the place where they would bring their offering, they'd bring their lamb, they'd stand in line, and they'd be waiting to present it to the priest, where it would be examined, and it would be slain, blood would be collected, body would be burned. And their approach got to the place where it was just routine. Their hearts weren't in it. They were doing the right thing, according to your word. But they were doing it with the wrong attitude, the wrong approach. And your prophet told us that it was a stench in your nostrils. Lord, we don't want to just go through the motions. We don't want to do anything just without thought, without sincerity. We want to have respect towards your word, and respect towards your ordinances. Whatever it is that we're doing, we want to do it with a pure heart, Lord, with no reservations. We want to be able to say it as well with our soul. We know, Lord, as a result, that there are benefits. We know there's healing in the cup. We know that this body has needs here tonight. So, Lord, we're in expectation that needs are going to be met here tonight. We know that we're partaking of this in symbol form, but we also know, Lord, that our approach is what's important, because it's causing us to search our hearts, causing us to make sure that it is, we're not partaking and we've got aught in our heart with one another, unconfessed sin in your sight. But Lord, we can come with a pure heart. So I pray, Lord, that you meet each and every one here tonight. We're in full expectation that you will. Lord, as we pray for one another, may you bless us for your honor and for your glory. We thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hallelujah. Make me more like thee. and give me a heart that's filled with love, and make me more like Thee. Won't you make me more like Thee, Jesus? Make me more like Thee, and give me that's filled with love. I want to live the way that He wants me to live. I want to give me,
take the one out of my office.
Okay. There's no more to give. I want to love, love till there's just no more love. I could never, ever outlove the Lord. I want to live the way.
We'll make it easy on you. You can go first.
I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love. There's no more love. I could never, ever outlove the Lord. Jesus, be Jesus in me. Jesus, be Jesus.